Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. I hope you guys are doing well this fine, beautiful, amazing Monday morning. I hope you're joining me today, because today we're going to talk about hotels and hospitality, this sad story. And is there a redemption? What is it? What can be done for hotels and hospitality? So that is the story. It's Ishai Breslauer here, you guys. I'm live on LinkedIn. I'm live on YouTube, live on Facebook, my Facebook page. And this is also going to be a podcast within a half an hour that if you're going to miss this, you're going to be able to listen to it on your way to work. Monday morning, we usually dive into some asset class. We all refresh from the weekend, and we are coming back to work discussing some asset class and diving deep into it and talking about this for at least 20 minutes. And that's what we're going to do today. So today, what I want to do, I want to talk about hospitality and the hotels. What a sad story. What a sad story. And the question is, what happened? What happened to this sector? And we all know what happened. Let me just, expand on this a little bit. COVID hits, and everybody goes home. Nobody, you know, the world is quarantined. No one can go to work. No one can leave the house, and definitely no one can fly. And the airlines got hit really badly, as well as the hotel industry. And nobody goes and visits the hotel. And that is a sad story. So we spoke already about retail and what happened to retail and so on and so forth. But if in retail there was a 70% decrease in revenue, in hotels it was 100% decrease in revenue. Who can predict that? Now, just for those who are not so familiar in the hotel sector, with the hotel sector, and want to hear just to understand a little bit better about this thing, the hotel sector, usually when we create a performer for it and we want to do the due diligence, we want to try to see what type of occupancy we are going to have in that particular area, in that particular sector. And hotels, by the way, just before I go into that, hotels is a big world. Hotels is not like a hotels, and that's it. Hospitality sector has so many subcategories. If it's from the classic hotels to express to inns, different type of boutique hotels, the brands, the big chains, and hotels and resorts. And everybody got hit in different ways. But in here, everybody got hit. You know, everybody gets hit in different ways when there's a different recession or different type of a financial economy, you know, whatever, apocalypse that happens. But in this case, everybody got hit. Everybody got hurt. No one in particular, it didn't skip anyone. Didn't skip anyone. So when we do the modeling for a hotel and we want to see what type of occupancy you have in that particular area where you're going to buy the hotel, develop a hotel, doesn't matter. You're looking at this occupancy and you're saying to yourself, okay, fine. Occupancy is going to be anywhere between, 65% to 85%. This is the normal type of average occupancy throughout the year, okay? On the low end, it's around the 60-70. On the higher end, it's around the 80-90. But that's pretty much how we look at it. And then we try to look at the downside of things, because we always try to see, can we actually pay the debt service? That's the most important thing in any asset class, in anything that we do. We want to see that we can actually, you know, still pay the debt service. Can we do that? Is that possible? Is that something that is manageable? And that is very, very important. So in a hotel sector, what we do is we go and we start playing with the occupancy. And we say, okay, worst case scenario, let's say 30%, let's say 40%. Let's say a crazy situation of a 20%. So that's what we do. And then we go to the debt service and we see if we still have money to pay the debt service and survive if we, let's say, let go of a certain amount of people, of the staff, unfortunately, because we don't have enough work, enough volume, enough traffic to support this type of staff, this type of payroll. And then we say to ourselves, okay, fine, I can still survive with a 30%. With the 30% revenue, 30% occupancy, okay? That's how we call it. And what happened here? What happened here? It's a big boom. 0% occupancy. This is unprecedented. Nobody could expect that. There's no pro forma. There's no analyst that would, even the most pessimistic dude on the face of the earth, would not come and say, I'm putting 0% occupancy in a hotel. This is crazy. This is crazy. So what happened here? And let's try to dig into it and let's try to understand what is this. And the answer is, for hotels, this is Armageddon, literally. If in retail, it's a challenging or crazy challenging, in hotels and hospitality sector, it's Armageddon. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to come and say, okay, it's not that bad, or it's bad, but it's not. It's horrible. It's pretty horrible. And thank God for people who are resilient and they're trying to find ways, always try to find ways to keep their head above the water and to find solutions constantly. And that is what entrepreneurs do. And that is what people at that level, that's why they become those decision makers and those people who do that. It's sometimes it's not enough, unfortunately, but sometimes it's really, they can make the world a different world. So let's talk about a little bit about the large changes for a second. There's a huge difference between how the large hotel chains took this pandemic, how they handled it, and how the smaller franchises, the boutique hotels, you know, those private owners who took like a brand name, but they, it's private owners, smaller type of owners. In a hotel industry, there's no moms and pops, I wouldn't call it that way, but there is small private owners, you know, they could own, let's say, two or three hotels, maybe four hotels, versus those large chains that owns countless and countless and countless of hotels and resorts all over the world. So let's talk for a second about the large chains, because when we talk about them, it's a whole different perspective. And then we talk about those smaller guys, that's a whole different perspective. So let's first focus on those big guys, okay? So first of all, what are they saying? How are they handling this whole situation? First of all, from all the interviews that I've seen lately, over the past few, 6 months, whatever it was, the Express, the Holiday Inn type of hotels are doing okay, meaning they're not doing okay, but they managed to bounce back. The second the quarantine period era was pretty much, I wouldn't say done, but when it was like sort of shifted to the more social distancing, from quarantine to social distancing, then the Express hotels came back to life, okay? Now, everybody looked at resorts and said, they're dead. They're dead. Now, it's interesting because there are two aspects of resorts. There are, and that's the talk here, okay? That is the whole conversation. There's the first aspect of resorts got hit and they're dead. Why? Because people don't go on vacation. Who goes to resorts? These are not business people. Unlike the Express Holiday Inns, where one guy, you know, travels because he just has to. He has to go and make meetings with those emergency meetings that he has. So definitely the occupancy is low and horrible and terrible, but it's not zero anymore. And those guys can actually go and travel and go and use those hotels. And the hotels, and I'm going to talk about this next, the hotels will have to provide this whole social distancing, cleanliness in a level that was not known before to hotels and to anyone in the world, okay, which is an issue of its own. I'll talk about this. But anyways, those business people going to express hotels, they're going to the express hotels and they stay there, and that sort of keeps that spirit alive, I would call it. It's sort of in a, you know, in a functioning mode. Now, when we talk about the resorts, hotels and resorts, that's a totally different story. Why? Because the resorts will go to resorts. Families go to resorts. They go and take a vacation. Who in nowadays is taking a vacation? So in that sense, it's a horrible story. So you have resorts usually are the place where it's packed, where it's equipped to have a lot of people. Usually it's a lot of rooms. Sometimes it's suites. Sometimes it's more luxury. Sometimes it's more to this and that end. Sometimes it's a ski resort. Sometimes it's a beach resort. It doesn't matter what it is. But that type of leisure, that type of vacation is now on pause. Nobody goes to those type of vacations unless they can. So I'll just give you a brief that with me, I was able actually to go to a hotel in the middle. Once the quarantine was open, very few hotels opened, very few rooms, and the occupancy was very, very, very low. We went there, we had the service, but there were very, very few people. But it was there. But when it comes to resorts, it's obviously that they got hit hard. However, and this, however, is huge. Listen to this. So from the interviews I hear and from the people who are on that level and from talking to those people on that level, what do we hear? We hear that there's still development going on. There's still investors who are putting out their money for new resorts to be built. Now, is it a good investment or not? I would argue. Yes, I would. Why? Because when you have a period of time where so many properties are, you know, in danger of being foreclosed in the future, which I'm going to touch also in a few seconds. When you have those type of properties that are going to be foreclosed or have that threat of being foreclosed in the future, why would you go and buy a ground up development when you can buy a beautiful resort from someone who is in distress and who needs the money and would love to get out of that deal at this point because the debt service is killing them? And if you're a big chain that has deep pockets and no problem of leverage, and you can actually live through this pandemic with paying no mortgage, with buying it with no mortgage, with no debt service, you know, and having the minimal amount of payroll, and just glide it through until this pandemic is over within, let's say, 6 months, a year, 2 years, we don't know, then you have a beautiful property that you probably have bought for a beautiful price. So that, why would you go into development? Apparently, there's something I don't know. If you guys know, I would love to know about that. But what is the logic behind ground-up development of hotels and resorts? Apparently, it's not a boom. It's not, but it's happening. People are building all over the world. In Asia, they're building it. And by the way, Asia is apparently, you know, in China, they're doing a lot better now with the pandemic. Things are getting a lot better. But, you know, they're building, they're doing things. Okay, so now I just want to get back for a second to the aspect of social distancing. Because hotels, all of a sudden, understood. We all saw those videos about hotels that don't clean their sheets, don't change their sheets with this ultra red, ultra, you know, violet. I have no idea how they did it with this thing that they put a stamp on a pillow and then you can actually see if they washed it or didn't wash it, all these shticks and tricks. But anyways, hotels got the understanding that they can't play around anymore. They have to provide people the utmost clean environment that can be provided, so people can feel safe when they go to a hotel. So this thing is sort of a shake-up, is a wake-up call for hotels, for everybody in the world who goes, you know, to hotels anywhere in the world, that here will be safe. Same as airlines, same as everywhere, that every place that they go. But a hotel is sort of the home away from home. If you don't feel safe there, and hotels understand it, those big chains, and they got the point. Of course, also the smaller, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but they got the point. And they started the whole movement of how do we do social distancing? How do we provide this type of a thing? And how do we connect to our customers in a different level? So connecting to our customers means that if we manage to bring people to our hotel and we manage to give them this beautiful service with social distancing while still having, you know, taking the food from behind the glass where they cannot touch the food, and the food is being given to them with a plate that is being given to them from a person who is serving them behind the glass, and it's individual plate, and that's, you know, the whole thing. The whole buffet thing changed completely, of course. But if people do that and they feel safe and they still get the spectacular, beautiful, tasty food that they get, then that's a winner. Then that's a solution. Then that's a way to do things. And hotels can actually work through of connect, you know, with this thing of connecting with your customers and actually creating a relationship. Now, talking about opportunities. Before we talk about opportunities, I just wanna explain one thing. Airlines and hotels are pretty much in the same place, okay? But the answer is no. They're pretty much, but not exactly. What does that mean? It means that when airlines got hit, the whole concept of travel, the whole concept of tourism, of taking a flight, going to a hotel, going to a resort, it goes together because of the packages that are being sold together with the flights. But we learned that you can separate the two. We already forgot, because we forgot how it was to go to a hotel close by without flying away. You know, we always we got used to the fact that we have to actually get on the plane or get on a car for a very far ride in order to get to the hotel on the other side. But what about the hotel that is just half an hour away or 20 minutes away or 2 hours away? We eliminated that all of a sudden, right? We eliminated that for years because it was more fun to travel. All of a sudden, this changed. So we always perceived hotels, we took them together in the one package together with the airlines, but they're not. Because now we learned airlines got hit. Now they're getting back to normal, but it took a long time and it will take even longer time. And hotels pivoted at that point to say, okay, I need local tourism. I can't have people traveling to me. Maybe I can offer those guys who are dying to get out of the house finally, maybe to come to a hotel and they're close by. And that was very successful for those who could do it. So that is another way to pivot for those guys. Now, I just want to shift for a second. I don't know, it's going to take a little bit longer than the regular podcast that I do, the regular show that I do. I want to talk about the smaller franchises. Those boutique hotels, smaller franchises, those guys are in a whole different ballgame. And you know, due to the forbearance, they don't have to pay mortgage, they don't have to pay debt service, or at least to a certain amount, or at least to a certain type of level. But imagine the difficulty of working with lenders. Imagine that. Imagine how hard it is. How hard it is when you have zero occupancy, not even a little bit of rent is coming in, or a little bit, meaning in our case, not rent, it's hotel rooms that are being filled, food and beverage is being serviced, and you're not getting anything. There's no revenue. Nothing's coming in. How are you going to pay debt service? And that is major, major. Not even retail experienced it to that extent. Some of them did, but not to that extent in that type of volume. So hotels really got it hard. And how do you handle debt service when you are a small guy, when you have two hotels? What are you going to do? So forbearance, the government, all these PPP loans, all these things helped out for sure. However, when that ends, what do you do? And we expect, and it's not we, it's not me, it's, you're talking about all this, the projections, the major projectors and the analysts, what they project. Basically, you listen to CNBC, you listen to all those networks, Bloomberg, you listen to, Yahoo Finance, whatever you listen to. You hear all these guys talking to and interviewing all these CEOs and experts of those large chains. And what we hear is that when their forbearance basically we won't have a lot of heat, a lot of foreclosures are going to come to the market. So on one hand, those guys are going to go, they're going to get in trouble if nothing happened since and, things will not change so fast and probably they won't. So you're going to have a lot of properties, a lot of hotels are coming out into the market. And it's not all, that will create opportunities. For the larger guys, again, with the deep pockets, with less leverage, they will come and step in and they will go and buy those properties. So that will create a lot of opportunity. And I think that we're starting to see it, but we're going to see it mostly in 2021. Another aspect that we have to talk about is the CMBS. We all know this CMBS word from, if you watch The Big Short and if you are obviously from the commercial real estate industry like myself, you know what happened in 2008. You know how, the subprime, the whole failure of loans and what happened to commercial mortgage-based securities. And how the stock market basically collapsed because of those guys, okay? So then it was more residential. At this point, it's not residential. I spoke about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. And that was about multifamily sector, which is actually the strongest sector. They're doing actually the best. The loans are looking fairly well and even though there are challenges there too because people lost their jobs and we are expecting some challenges, but not this sector is the most resilient, showed resiliency throughout this pandemic. And the one thing I want to share with you is that the CMBS for 2008 was residential. Right now, the CMBS that is going to get hit hard are all those commercial mortgage-based securities that are under this umbrella that is called hospitality sector and retail. So those, what will happen to those? That is a huge, huge question. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look great. But another thing that we see from hotels, and I don't see it enough. I don't know if you guys, again, if you have, if you've known about seeing it, if you know about those things, I'd love to hear about this. But hotels are not dead. First, before I say what's happening today, hotels are not dead because who is listening to me right now is not dying to take his family and go to a hotel. We're dying to get out a little bit. Okay, we want to do that. Having said all that, those who are in trouble, the one solution that everybody's talking about is conversions. Conversions, converting hotels. It's not a simple solution. But some conversions are tilting more towards multifamily, which is it makes sense. It really makes sense. and the other sector is senior housing. Now, senior housing makes sense from the point that you have a large dining room, a large kitchen, all those things. That from that point, it makes sense. But from the multifamily point, it doesn't make that much sense from that, from the angle of having so much a common area. When you have too many common areas, this large kitchen, this large thing, you have to think what you're going to do with it, a club, or this or that. Usually they go and become, would they become a class A? I don't know. They're more likely to become a B class property. I don't know. So We don't know that. It's like it's not so ideal when it comes to those senior housing. Of course, a kitchen and you know, a large dining room, whatever it is, that could be a great solution. But when it comes to multifamily, not that much. So the question also, but when you look at the other hand, converting them to senior housing, you have to actually change a lot of things in the bathroom to make it more accessible for people who need that, you know, ability. ADA compliant, it's going to be a different type of story for hotel to turn into a senior housing than to multifamily. Will be from that, you know, from that angle, it'll be much easier. So there are a lot to talk about this sector, and I wish for all of us, with that I'll end, and I wish for all of us and to the economy to get better so we can get out and go to a hotel with our family and have a little fun, because that's what we want, that's what we deserve after this whole saga, and they deserve to make a living also. You guys have a beautiful day. Take care of yourself. Have a beautiful week and successful one, a successful one. Take care. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.